You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the host of this fine program. My co-host, David Ramil, is not here today. He is on vacation. Won't tell me where he went. So I'm hoping he comes back eventually. No, he will. But I'm running solo today. So I want to talk about Dwayne Wade's Q&A with Sports Illustrated's The Crossover. And I want to talk about Rodney Magruder's chances about making the team, which look greater and greater. I want to continue that conversation that we started having on yesterday's show. Some more quotes from players and coaches on Rodney Magruder about his chances of making the team. But before I get to that, I want to start with Goran Dragic and these trade rumors. Dragic had an opportunity to respond to these most latest rumors regarding a trade between the Miami Heat and the Sacramento Kings, centered around Goran Dragic and Rudy Gay. I talked yesterday a lot about how that trade doesn't make sense for the Heat. It makes more sense for the Kings, but it doesn't make sense for the Heat for a variety of reasons. And Dragic had an opportunity to respond to that. He said, I know I need to play. The style is perfect for me. My goal is to be here for many, many years. Continue to go on and say, I want to stay here. It's a good group of young talent. I like the coaching staff. I feel like I'm at home now. Those are strong sentiments that Dragic is expressing there. Clearly, he doesn't want to leave. I mean, he's probably been feeling like he's been just waiting for this opportunity. Not saying that he's been waiting for Dwayne Wade to sign somewhere else, but that he's been waiting for a chance to prove himself. And that's certainly what he's going to have. I mean, he's been terrific for the Heat this preseason. He's clearly taken the reins of the offense, so why would he want to leave? But ultimately, it's not up to him. I don't think that the Heat are going to trade him. I think that they don't want to move him for a lot of the same reasons he's expressing in those quotes. It doesn't make sense. Maybe that the Heat would want to move on from Dragic, say, by the trade deadline. If the season's not going the way they want, maybe they're 10 games below 500 or something like that. Maybe at that point it makes sense to trade Dragic, but not for Rudy Gay. Not for a fellow 30-year-old player, especially a 30-year-old player who is a notorious ball stopper and one who could opt out at the end of the year. If you trade Dragic, you're trying to make up for the two first-round picks that you traded for him. Getting Gay doesn't do that, and I don't see that trade being viable. A lot of those rumors have been kind of going around. They resurfaced for a lot of the summer, for the last few months, and they resurfaced yesterday with Basketball Insiders reporting that the two sides, the Kings and the Heat, have been talking. Zach Lowe of ESPN recently reported that they've engaged in vague trade talks. If there is a trade between the Kings and the Heat, I don't see this. I don't see Dragic for Gay being the deal. I don't see that happening. It just doesn't make enough sense. At least from my end, unless Pat Riley, for some reason, values Rudy Gay much higher than basically everybody else at this point. If that's the case, then I have some questions for Pat Riley and his judgment, because the deal just doesn't make sense. I understand that Rudy Gay would fill the void left by Chris Bosh, but for $13 to $14 million a season, honestly, I'd rather have Derek Williams at what the Heat are paying him. I mean, if you're looking to develop young talent, I'd rather have a guy like Goran Dragic who can share the ball and get guys engaged and create offense for other players, as opposed to Rudy Gay, who is a ball stopper, who doesn't necessarily create good shots for himself, but does take shots for himself and isn't, he's a small forward / stretch four. He's not a guy that's going to create shots and bail other guys out. He's not LeBron James in that way. Very few players are, but he's certainly not in a way where he can, use his gravity to make other players better. Rudy Gay doesn't do that. A lot of times now, I had an opportunity to watch Rudy Gay in person at the Kings' new arena when they played the Clippers a couple nights ago, and they mostly just kind of let him be. They don't double team him. They just say, hey, this guy's going to take a bad shot. Let's just let him do it. If it goes in, it goes in. Sometimes it does. I'm not saying the guy's not talented, but it doesn't make sense for the Heat. So again, Dragic saying, you know, his goal is to be here for many, many years. He wants to stay here. Obviously that these trade rumors can't be doing well, but he's gone out and played. He's been fine. I think eventually that these rumors will go away. And Dragic will just be a part of this team. If he's traded, I just don't see this being the deal. It doesn't make sense for the Heat. All right, moving on. Dwayne Wade via Sports Illustrated, the crossover. And just a quick aside here about the crossover. A really interesting program that Sports Illustrated is running, taking all their best NBA guys, really kind of born from Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback vertical that Sports Illustrated runs. This is going to be similar, but for basketball, obviously. So I highly encourage you guys to go over there and check that out. Some great work on Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and this Q&A with Dwayne Wade. And just forgive me in advance, there's some lengthy quotes here that I want to read you, but they're very, very interesting. If you haven't gotten a chance to read this piece yourself, I highly recommend it. But here, there's a three quotes that I really want to touch on. The first one was taking us into his decision-making process when he decided that he was going to leave the Miami Heat and he was going to go sign with the Chicago Bulls. Here's what he had to say. I had just left the meeting with the Heat and wound up going to get some pizza because I knew I had a long night in front of me. Me and my business manager stopped off and got some pizza, and I got back to the hotel and my mind was racing. I was sitting in my manager's room and I was thinking about this moment, this decision. I knew that Miami wanted me to make a decision by midnight that night, and I started saying, who am I making this decision for? Once I realized I was making this decision for me, I wanted to be selfish for once. You put yourself in a position where you're always sacrificing for other people. And not bad sacrifices, great sacrifices. We won championships and did a lot of amazing things. But you're always doing things for the good of others as well. This time I said, you know what? It's okay to be selfish. And it started going through my mind. Go home. Go to Chicago. Do what you always wanted to do. Now, again, apologize for the length of that quote, but it's very enlightening. I mean, he touches on a few things that we've all talked about, and specifically two things. The fact that he wanted to be selfish and the fact that he didn't want to sacrifice anymore, and he addressed both of those things in that quote, and he makes a good point. Look, it's okay for him to be selfish. He is his own employee. He is his own businessman. You know, these players, via free agency, have every right in the world to make whatever decision they want. He goes on and talks about wanting to play in Chicago and having always wanted to play in Chicago. And by the quotes he gives, I think that the whole coming home thing is what I did think, and a lot of people thought that whole coming home thing was overblown and it was just kind of piggybacking on top of what LeBron did, going back to Cleveland, and that this whole coming home thing is almost in vogue. It's fashionable. But you really got a sense that this guy always wanted to. We talked about in 2010, before LeBron and Bosch agreed to join him in Miami, he was very close to signing in Chicago. I mean, he held his free agent meetings in Chicago. And he said he had to leave just to get away from home because he was getting too emotional about that decision. And that he was very close to signing with the Bulls. And if it wasn't for LeBron and Bosch basically calling him and saying, we could all get together in Miami, we can't do that in Chicago, let's stay in Miami, let's do this, then he might have signed with Chicago. There's a good chance he signs with the Bulls in 2010. And so this isn't something that just came out of nowhere. I mean, Dwayne Wade has always thought about playing for Chicago. He's gotten close to playing for Chicago before. And now that he's there, it does seem that he is appreciative of the situation that Miami gave him, the opportunity Miami gave him. I want to get into that quote, but when he talks about the sacrifices, you know, people say, well, Wade sacrificed so much money for the Heat in the past, and then detractors from that will say, well, he sacrificed money so that he can keep LeBron and Bosch happy, so that the Heat could re-sign Udonis Haslem, get guys like Mike Miller and Ray Allen, and that's all true. And Wade right here says, that's all true. He gets it. Not bad sacrifices, great sacrifices. We won championships and did a lot of amazing things. And he's right. But at some point, you just say, you know, I don't want to go with, I just want to do something for me, you know, as opposed to this greater good. That makes sense. This next quote. I had 13 great years in Miami. I have no ill will towards the organization. I wish them nothing but success in their future. But right now, It's what's best for me. It's unfortunate that a lot of stuff played out in the media, whether it was right or it was wrong. But at the end of the day, like I said, I have no ill will. They drafted me. They gave me an opportunity to live my dream out. I thank them for putting me on that platform to go out and try to be great. Again, referencing, is there a break between him and the Heat organization? Is that relationship ruined? And then he goes on to say, in regards to that relationship and in that regards to if he'll ever play for the Heat again, which was the question he was asked, he said, you never know what the future holds, so you never want to say yes or no. Anything is possible. So Wade's quotes reaffirming a lot of the things we already thought about how the whole situation played out, about maybe some of his reasons for leaving Miami and signing with the Bulls, and then, of course, in the future, maybe coming back to Miami. I still think that from everything, Wade will end his career with the Heat, whether it's something like what Paul Pierce is doing, where he announced his retirement before the season. He's going to play out the season with the Clippers, presumably. That's the team he's on. And then at the end of this year, go sign a one-year or like a one-minute contract with the Boston Celtics for like a dollar or something to retire as a Celtic. So whether it's Wade doing something like that he plays the rest of his career with Chicago or another team, and then when he decides to retire, signing one last contract for the Heat with the Heat so that he retires as a part of the Heat, or if he comes back for one more year, maybe comes off the bench as a support role, something like that. I tend to think that might be the way they go, but you never know. And I do think that one day Wade will return to Miami, will retire as a part of the Miami Heat. Yeah, I mean, again, if you haven't checked that article out, it's a great read, really enlightening. I don't know if I've said this here on the show, but I've definitely talked to friends and other people about this, and the recent stuff that's happened in Chicago, you know, the social stuff and everything that's happening, I've started to come to grips more with Dwayne Wade not being with the Heat. Of course it's shocking. You know, everybody in the NBA, Heat fan or not, is shocked that Dwayne Wade's not there. The Chicago Bulls jersey on him still looks weird. It looks like some weird trade that somebody made by accident in NBA 2K. It just doesn't look right. But he has been very active in the Chicago community, and by him helping that community, it gives you maybe almost a bigger picture where it's, you know, you're almost okay with him going there because you could see that maybe he's making a difference in that community. They might need him more than Miami needs him. So add that to the fact that Miami right now is 4-2 through the preseason. That guys like Goran Dragic look great in their new role, their new enhanced role, right? Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Justice Winslow, these guys look great. Hassan Whiteside looks like he's taken even another step forward as far as consistency goes. And it's not like the Heat are struggling through preseason. It's not like they're 1-5 right now. You know, they're 4-2, one of the best records in the Eastern Conference. Through the preseason, yeah, small sample size, but they look good. And more importantly, they look fun. Like, this team looks like it's going to, even if this team wins 30 to 35 games, they're going to be a fun team to watch. So with that, plus, at least for me, I don't know about you, but at least for me, that plus what Wade has been able to do so far, before the regular season's even started, before he's only been there for a couple months, what he's been able to do and how he's able to impact that community in Chicago has really made the loss of Dwayne Wade a lot easier. And I don't know about you, but that's certainly the case for me. All right, I want to take a quick moment to shout out the Locked On Podcast Network, the great network that Locked On Heat is a part of. A bunch of great NBA shows. So if you're not, you know, if you're a fan of the Heat or if you're a fan of just the NBA in general, there's a lot of really great shows. I know with these LaMarcus Aldridge trade rumors going out with the Spurs, I was listening to Jeff Garcia, and the host of Locked On Spurs, talking about that, and just great inside information on what the Spurs might be wanting in return for LaMarcus Aldridge. There's just a ton of great shows, a ton of great content, and it's all going to be necessary. So you can, if you've not subscribed already, subscribe to Locked On Heat on iTunes. And then you can go ahead on iTunes while you're there. Subscribe to the Locked On Podcast, the Locked On NBA Podcast Network feed. It's going to give you a feed of not just Locked On Heat, but every Locked On NBA team show. So, you know, look, I know you're not going to have time in your day to listen to every show. I don't. But you can go, you can browse through, you can scroll, you browse through the titles and the headlines of these shows and say, and find what's interesting to you. While you're at it, you can subscribe to Locked On Dolphins. It's football season. Miami just is coming off a big win against the Steelers. Maybe it's time to hop back onto the Miami Dolphins train. I know I listened to and read a lot more Dolphins content when they're winning. They did win a game. Don't want to, you know, jinx them, knock on wood, but maybe they're good. Maybe they have their offensive line intact. Maybe they're good. I don't know. Subscribe to Locked On Dolphins. A lot of really great insight and information and commentary on the Miami Dolphins over there. So Locked On Podcast Network, lots of great content. Go find it. Again, daily podcasts for your team, for every team in the NBA and the NFL, almost every team, all the Miami teams. And you're not going to find that, quite frankly, anywhere else. And with inside information, with great insight and commentary on a daily basis that you're not going to get from any other podcast, you're not going to get from any radio show, local or national. It's the only place to get it. Make us a part of your daily commute. That's my recommendation. Okay. Moving on. Rodney Magruder, man. What a preseason he's having. I was really impressed with him during Summer League, really impressed with him so far in preseason. And it seems that his teammates and coaches have also been impressed. Tyler Johnson said of Rodney Magruder, so far he's done a really good job, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was on the team. I don't know what place he would take on the team. But head coach Eric Spoelstra said that Magruder is competing for a 15th spot on the roster. He says he reminds him of Justice Winslow in terms of just making winning plays. You don't necessarily see his impact on the box score, but he does those little things, those in-between things that Justice Winslow does a great job of, Magruder does a great job of. And I like that comparison to Winslow. I also like the comparison that I made on our last show to Tyler Johnson, where, yeah, Tyler Johnson now is, you know, scoring 10-plus points a game in the preseason, but really he's one of those hustle guys, those tryhards, who are going to make an impact one way or the other, whether it's just grabbing an important rebound or playing dogged defense or just, you know, getting a timely steal or something like that. These are the things that I think Magruder can do, just like Johnson, just like Justice Winslow. And I said it already. I mean, I think this guy, he's good enough to make the team, especially with this team with as forward-looking as they have to be right now. It makes sense to keep a guy like Rodney Magruder. He was the best two-way player on the Sioux Falls Skyforce Championship team of the D-League. When we talk about Briante Weber and the risk of losing him to another team, we have to talk about Rodney Magruder as well. He's played that well in the preseason. There are scouts in all these preseason games, every single one of them. And you know that they're looking at guys like Rodney Magruder thinking, that guy can make an impact for us. He could play 8 minutes a game and make a positive impact in those 8 minutes. And that is a valuable player to have as your 13th, 14th, 15th guy on the team. Magruder is one of those guys. I don't know where he fits in. I think if the Heat really want to go forward-looking, they let Beno Udrih go, and they keep Briante Weber. That makes sense to me if you're forward-looking. I've started to come around to that. Long listeners of the show know that I thought that Briante needed more time and that you have to keep Beno. But with the way that this rotation has gone, the guard rotation has been Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Wayne Ellington, and that's not even with Josh Richardson, who will come back during the regular season. When Dragic is out, it's a lot of point guard by committee, and it's been working. It makes sense. They have enough secondary ball handlers on the floor at the same time that they don't necessarily need a primary ball handler when Dragic is getting his rest. So if I'd rather have a young guy to help develop than Beno Udrih sitting at the end of the bench. That makes sense to me. It also makes sense to keep Rodney Magruder. Now, does that involve trying again to find a trade partner for Josh McRoberts? Probably. McRoberts hasn't played this preseason at all. And James Johnson has done a fine job filling in that 4-5 tweener role that McRoberts was going to play this year. If you can get somebody to take McRoberts' contract, or maybe you waive him. I don't know if Magruder is worth that to the Heat. But if they can't find a trade partner for McRoberts, maybe you waive him. And you create a situation, and you can create some room there. You still have to pay him. He still hits against your cap. It'll still count against the cap next year, which would be obviously an issue for the Heat, who are going to attack free agency next summer. So I'm not sure that they'd be willing to do that. There's other ways that you can make room. Maybe you let Luke Babbitt go. He's been injured. I don't know if I see that. I mean, Wayne Ellington? But he's played so well this preseason, I don't see them getting rid of maybe their best three-point shooter, if not Babbitt. I don't know what kind of room they can create on this roster if it's not Josh McRoberts. So look, so the deadline is Monday. The deadline is Monday. Teams have to cut their roster down to 15 players. The Heat are at 20. They have to cut it down to 15 players by Monday. And that's, keep in mind, that includes Chris Bosh, who is still occupying a roster spot, who they're not going to waive before Monday. If they're going to waive him, it's already been reported that they're going to wait until March 1st, 25 games before the playoffs, so that Bosh can't go and play for a playoff team. But so they're not going to waive him between now and Monday. So it's really, they have 14 guys on this roster to move, to play with. So I don't know if Tyler Johnson, Eric Spoelstra's comments about Rodney Magruder, I don't know if they have a I don't know if Spoelstra has a plan in mind in regards to who would be cleared. The obvious decision is Josh McRoberts. I would rather have Rodney Magruder over Josh McRoberts. I think Rodney Magruder could be a very good player in this league. I think when you look at guys like Tyler Johnson, who just get paid $50 million over 4 years after being an undrafted free agent, Magruder, you know, in 2-3 years, I think he could be like that. I'm very high on him, but they have to make the room for him. And I don't know that without trading McRoberts that they can do that, because I'm not sure he's worth paying $5 to $6 million for in dead money by waiving McRoberts in order to facilitate a roster spot for Rodney Magruder. But we'll see, right? That's not my decision to make. Obviously, the Heat will make it. It'll be, and we've seen them do crazy creative things in the past. We don't know what their asking price for McRoberts has been in the past. Maybe it's free now. Maybe they're just willing to get rid of him. Who knows? I'm trying to think of a team that would need a big, and I'm sure there's a team out there that could use one. Unfortunately, Josh McRoberts is always on rehab, and they'll need him to be healthy if anybody's going to trade for him, so I don't know if that's going to happen, but again, we'll see. All right, well, that's all we have for today, and whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening, and get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, or you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or inquire about advertising. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me, and catch you next time.